And as you just heard, today, of course, is Veterans Day. The holiday was created by Congress in 1926 to pay tribute to the heroes of World War I. Originally called Armistice Day, it was supposed to remind the country of the price of peace. After several more wars and conflicts, the holiday was changed in 1954 to Veterans Day, the purpose to honor veterans who served and fought for the United States in all wars. There are currently 19 million war veterans living in the United States. One way to pay tribute to them is to listen to their stories. Rona Marie Knox, known as Ronnie, was a nurse during the Vietnam War.
You had to somehow block out the smells and the sounds because the smells were of dirty, putrefied flesh and blood that was some running free and some that was old. And there were insects and there was dust and there was other organic material that didn't smell good in the area. And the sounds were people, you know, crying and screaming and praying. And then there was the people on our own staff who were also pretty flustered and uttering back and forth. So sounds were chaotic. The smells were astounding. And the only way to function was to somehow block those things from sensory perception, or you couldn't go on. So that's what we all did. And I don't know how we did it.
That story is part of the Veterans History Project at the American Folklife Center of the Library of Congress. In the year 2000, Congress authorized funding for an audio archive of the stories and personal experiences of veterans of 20th century conflicts. Those oral histories, as well as other items gathered, will be cataloged, preserved, and made available by the Library of Congress to students and to researchers. For the remainder of this hour, we're going to talk about the Veterans History Project, and we want to hear your stories. What are you doing to preserve the stories of the veterans from your family? Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, that's 800-989-TALK, or send us an email, TOTN@npr.org. And joining us now from her home here in Washington, D.C., is Ellen McCulloch Lovell, Project Director of the Veterans History Project, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you on Veterans Day.
Also with us from his home in Washington is Brian Williams, a historian for the American Red Cross. He's gathering the oral histories of Red Cross workers for the Veterans History Project, and it's nice of you to join us.
Thank you.
Ellen, first, would you describe the project in its totality?
Yes. You mentioned that Congress created it, and I think they wanted to do that to make sure that the firsthand accounts of experiencing war, just as we just heard from Rona Marie Knox Prescott, don't get lost. And also AARP supported it, and that means that we've been able to reach a lot of people around the country.
Hmm.
We asked them to do a lot, really. We asked them to identify veterans and their families or in their neighborhoods, to interview them on audio or videotape, but also to ask them to write their memoirs or send us their letters that they wrote to loved ones during wartime, and their photographs. So all the different ways that people have of capturing their memories and telling their stories are the kinds of things that we want at the Veterans History Project, so we can collect them and preserve them, so we can honor the veterans and the civilians who served, like the Red Cross workers, and also so that we can use them to educate future generations about service to country.
Well, how big a project is this?
It's a national project, and we're trying to reach as many war veterans and civilians who served as possible. We try to make it easy by giving them instructions about how to do interviews. We even have sample questions to ask people.
Hmm. So there's a kit, really?
There's an instruction kit on a website, and also one that people can get for free by calling us. So we're asking them to be volunteers and historians and to talk to people so that all of us can learn about our history in the very words of the people who lived it.
Just looking in the control room, but I think we can put a link to your website on our website. So if you want to find out how to get this kit, you can just go to npr.org and click on the Talk of the Nation page. Give us a few minutes after the show to get it up, okay? another question, how do you identify people to interview?
There's so many veterans still in our families and communities that hasn't been a problem.
Hmm.
But the veterans service organizations, such as VFW and American Legion and Vietnam Veterans of America, you know, there's so many of them, are active. And, of course, they're always a great source of people to interview. But there's so many people. You know, if you talk to almost any American, they will say, oh, yeah, my grandmother was in the WAC, my uncle was in World War II, you know, my father was in Korea, my cousin went to Vietnam, and, you know, there are many people who lived our history, and we want them to tell us about it.
Okay, let's listen to another clip of tape. This is from the collection that you've made. This is Walter Morris, who served in the Army in the Second World War.
We as colored soldiers in Fort Benning, Georgia in 1941 and 42 could not go into the main post exchange or the main theater at Fort Benning, Georgia. But when we passed the main post exchange and we could look in, we could see the German and Italian prisoners of war sitting down at the same table with the white soldiers, drinking Cokes and smoking and having a good time. So it's understandable how colored soldiers would have an inferiority complex. There must be something wrong with us.
Ellen McCulloch Lovell, particularly the ending of that one, but also the other story told by the Vietnam nurse. Some of these memories are difficult to get people to talk about for different reasons.
Yes, not everybody wants to talk about them. There are people who say they don't want to go back to a place that's very painful for them. But for others, it's really important for them to let other people know what they lived through and to tell us what war is really like. So, yes, they're very emotional, and they're very gritty. And as you heard from Rona Marie, even kind of gruesome. But there are other themes that come out, too, Neil. There's a wonderful theme of camaraderie and loyalty to the group. A lot of talk about my buddies and the friendships that were formed that are last, you know, a whole life long. And there's also humor, believe it or not. Stories of leave and pranks that were played and the ways to relieve tension.
Brian, let's bring you into this. Brian Williams at the American Red Cross. You've been collecting stories for more than 20 years now. What are the big problems that you've encountered when trying to get an oral history?
Well, I think probably the biggest challenge is to be sufficiently prepared in advance to conduct an interview that gets the information recorded and is a comfortable experience for the person that's being interviewed. So I have the luxury usually of being able to talk to people in advance, do what I call a pre-interview, where we sit down and talk about their life and the aspects of it that we're going to be interviewing. And then I come back several weeks later, and we conduct the interview. And
that gives you a chance to do some research on if he or she served in Italy in 1943, on what was going on in Italy in 1943.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. I've done a number of interviews with veterans of the Korean War, and if you haven't studied that war and known what it was like, you wouldn't be able to empathize very well with the people you're talking to. And just in terms of weather, for example, that was such a cruel war. So much of it was fought under terrible wintry conditions, and so you have to be able to feel these things in order to conduct a good interview.
We're speaking with Brian Williams, an historian for the American Red Cross, and with Ellen McCulloch Lovell, who's the project director of the Veterans History Project at the Smithsonian Institution, about collecting oral histories from veterans of 20th century wars. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Brian, if somebody's trying to collect a history from a family member, one way or another, either written or audio or video, any advice you can give them to, you know, help them along the way?
Well, plan things out very carefully and try to use good equipment and use microphones that you can put on people to get fairly good sound quality and so forth. One thing that I think we all have found, Ellen I think will agree with me on this, is wonderful experiences occur when young people interview their grandparents. There's a lot that happens transgenerationally there, and you know, young people say, "My gosh, I never knew what interesting stories my grandfather had to tell." And it's also a wonderful experience for the grandfather too, because someone is listening with you know, real attention and appreciation.
Yeah, I'd like to second that, Neil. I told you about the volunteers and the AARP volunteers. We also have all these partners in classrooms and libraries and museums and veterans service organizations, and we hear wonderful testimonials from teachers and from high school students and college students themselves about what happens when they meet an older veteran and they have that interview and they understand what the person lived through. The person may seem like an ordinary older person to them, but when they understand what they did,
yeah,
it changes the equation completely.
Let's get some listeners involved, and let's go to Ruth, who's with us in Mill Valley, California.
Can you hear me? I'm on a call phone.
Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
This is an interesting thing that I read. Ruby Scott was a teacher at Tam High in Mill Valley. She ran a boarding house with her mother in Berkeley. Bert was a boarder who went to World War One. He very well laid out in a diary all the things that happened. The interesting thing to me was he writes, "We are going to the front today." He was a colonel. He was issued a bicycle and a candy bar. He knew he was going to the front. And all his men, who were privates, went on foot, and they each got a candy bar. So that's a story from World War One, from Bert Smith.
Ellen McCulloch-Lovell, obviously an object like that is a is something of a different order.
Well, the little story that she told is a perfect example of these vivid details that come through in the stories. And, Neil, I just want to tell everybody the project is housed at the Library of Congress.
Yes, I'm sorry, I misspoke. I apologize.
I just want them to be able to find us, you know.
Well, they'll find us when you go to that web link that we'll get up. I apologize for that.
Also, you know, I was thinking about Brian's description of getting prepared and knowing something about the action, and that's very important. We took some care in our instruction kit to give people sample questions so that the volunteers, you know, the family members and the amateur historians who are helping us collect these stories can use those questions.
Ruth, you may want to consider taking that diary and sending it to the Library of Congress as part of this project. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. I think Ruth has pulled away from the place she pulled over. Let's get another caller, and this is Vicki, who's in Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, this is Vicki.
Hi, you're on the air, Vicki.
Yes, I am. Okay. I called to tell you about my dad is, he'll be 82 next week, and he found a record, an old record, that my mom had made when she was going through her training of the Army Air Force back in the 40s during World War II. And it is absolutely amazing. She talks about the new technology, about a fire crash display that she saw. I mean, what is more amazing, too, is she passed away in the early 90s, just to hear her voice and to hear her take on her training. She was one of the first women air traffic controllers in World War II.
Well, that sounds certainly like something the library might be interested in. Thanks very much, Vicki.
Yeah, that's a wonderful discovery. And also, it reminds me how wonderful it is going to be 50 and 100 years from now for other Americans to hear the voices of these people.
Let's get one more caller in, and this is Gary, who's with us from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Hi. My grandfather was a cook on a ship in World War One. I don't remember what ship it was, but I always wondered why it was he would not eat carrots. And finally, he told us one day, apparently there was an abundance of carrots and there was very little else to eat at the time, and so people were just really sick and tired of carrots.
I can understand completely. Gary, thanks very much for that.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And Ellen McCulloch-Lovell, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Ellen McCulloch-Lovell is the project director of the Veterans History Project, part of the Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. And again, there is a kit that you can get from their website. If you will go, give us a little while to get up the link, but if you'll go to npr.org and click on the Talk of the Nation page, we can relay their website to you. And Brian Williams, we appreciate your time today as well.
You're welcome.
Brian Williams, historian for the American Red Cross. He's been gathering oral histories for more than 20 years. He's currently working on gathering the oral histories of Red Cross workers for the Veterans History Project. If you do it and you're making an audio tape, just a word of advice, get the microphone close to their mouth. Both of those guests spoke to us from their homes in Washington, D.C., and thanks to both of them for taking out time on Veterans Day to speak with us. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.